This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Louise Marr. Welcome to Treasure Trove.
It's a funny little thing.
It documents a really strange provisional space.
It is a kind of monument to excess.
Stories from our galleries and archives.
It's just an unbelievably tragic story.
It's really timeless.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that the following audio contains the voices of people who have died.
This is a magnetic strip card. It's from the Murrumbidgee Gulaburewin Centre in Kununurra in Western Australia. These cards were made in the late 1980s and they're language resources. So they've got recordings of elders speaking simple words and sentences so that children can learn Murrumbidgee.
I'm in a sound studio at IATSIS, the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies. Curator Charlotte Craw is showing me a selection of these illustrated cards that were once used to help teach the critically endangered Murrumbidgee language. Hundreds of these cards were recently donated to the Institute to be digitised and preserved. Each one is about the size of an aeroplane boarding pass with a strip of metallic recording tape near the bottom edge. You need a special machine to play them on.
There's actually two tracks on each of the magnetic strips. So there's a teacher track for a community elder to speak the language correctly. And then there's a student track where students could record themselves talking.
So the students would listen to the teacher, the elder, saying the word or the phrase, and then they'd have a go themselves at recording their version.
Yes, so this is a self-instruction kind of machine. So the elder can make the recording and then the children would come into the Language and Culture Centre after school and could use these cards to practice and to hear how they sounded as opposed to somebody who was fluent in the language.
Well, we've got one here which has got the little picture on it, a smiling mouth. You can see all the teeth and some words in language and the magnetic strip as you've described. Can you show me how it works in the machine?
So the machine looks like an old cassette tape deck, but instead of inserting a cassette into a dock, what we're going to do is put the card in at this end. The machine will move the card across and read it as it plays it. So we'll hear the teacher first.
What's she saying?
She's saying the mouth is grinning.
Okay. Can we hear the children's response?
Certainly. So what we'll do is press this button and that'll change the position of the heads so that we can hear the student track.
That's great, isn't it?
Yes, it's a really great way because you can hear yourself speaking the language, but also because these cards have pictures and sentences on them. So as you're getting that audio recording, you're also able to see the words written and see a picture. So it's reinforcing the learning that you're doing.
And on the back of the cards, there's the phrase or the word in English.
Yes. So they're made primarily for children in the community who might also be learning English as well, but also for adults or other children who might want to learn and might be more familiar with English.
There's also a book here, an alphabet book with a picture of an emu and an echidna on the front. What's this book and how does it work with the cards?
It was written by Francis Cofford, who's a linguist who works with the Murrumbidgee community, as well as by community elders. Now, it's a bit different from an English alphabet book because it's very focused on the specific sounds of the Murrumbidgee language. So there's lots of consonant combinations in here that you wouldn't find in English.
So, for example, on this page we have the combination TH and the combination NH. NH is not something that's very common in English.
Yes, and sometimes in Australian languages those two letters might just be representing one sound because Australian languages, of course, didn't have written forms before the introduction of the Roman alphabet. So there's a real development there of how, and a challenge of how do you put these languages and these sounds into an alphabet that wasn't designed with them in mind. And linguists and elders who are working on Australian languages are often updating the spelling so that it can be more accurate. So here we've got an example, and I think this is a really nice example of how this alphabet book also encapsulates the kind of culture and landscape of Kununurra. This is a page illustrating a couple of words. I'll just say them in English. This is a baobab tree. I've got a picture of that and a sentence describing the baobab nuts falling down.
And this is how it sounds on the magnetic strip card, spoken first by Sheba Dilangari, with the kids repeating the phrase.
And then we've got a frill-neck lizard and he's dancing. So that's an example of how the words that have been chosen to illustrate these sounds and these letters, combinations of letters, are really culturally specific and very much about the community and the culture and the place of Kununurra.
So how many cards were made and what are some more examples of the words and phrases that they teach?
There's about 1,200 cards and those are grouped into sets. And so like this alphabet book has its set of cards, there are other sets of cards that also relate to other language materials produced in the community, readers and other books illustrating the Murrawong language. The names of birds and animals and plants, words illustrating parts of the human body, and there's also words for activities, so verbs and words that describe what you might do with the parts of your body or what an animal's doing.
The magnetic strip cards used in the late 80s and 90s have been superseded by new technology and initiatives. The Miramadawang Wulabgering Language and Culture Centre has developed an app which includes a dictionary of 1,400 Mirawung words and phrases. It also runs the Mirawung Language Nest, an immersive program for young Indigenous and non-Indigenous children in the Kununurra area. A local community radio station also broadcasts programs in the Mirawung language. While the Mirawung people have come up with new ways to keep their language and culture alive, IATSIS curator Charlotte Craw says it's still important to preserve the old language cards.
Because of the scarcity of recordings and other material of Australian languages, so obviously with a language like English, we've got a very extensive corpus of recorded radio, television, movies, as well as language resources. There's, millions of hours of recording. Whereas a language like Murrawung, there's a very small amount of recording that's been made historically. So any recording of that language is quite precious and, we'd like to see it preserved. The second reason is because it's important to be able to document those developments and changes in a language. And so having historical materials, even though they might not be necessarily relevant for the community today, does allow linguists and researchers to go back and look at the changes in a language. And it's very important too to be able to demonstrate that these are living languages, they're not stuck in the past. The other reason is that even though the spelling might need to change, the recordings that we've got on these cards, that's still how you say the word. So the community would like to hear those again. These are also recordings made by elders who were well respected in the community, particularly because they were language workers who gave a lot of time and effort to the language centre. But they've now sadly passed away. And so getting these cards going again will allow the community to hear those people's voices if they choose to.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Treasure Trove, stories from our galleries and archives. I'm Louise Maher from ABC Radio Canberra. To subscribe to Treasure Trove or any of our podcasts, download the ABC Listen app.